The passage that Graham's going to be speaking from is on page 978. 978, and it's Luke chapter 7, starting at verse 18. Page 978, Luke chapter 7, verse 18. John's disciples told him about all these things. Calling two of them, he sent them to the Lord to ask, "Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else?" When the men came to Jesus, they said, "John the Baptist sent us to you to ask, 'Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else?'" At that very time, Jesus cured many who had diseases, illnesses, and evil spirits, and gave sight to many who were blind. So he replied to the messengers, "Go back and report to John what you've seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me." After John's messengers left, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No, those who wear expensive clothes and indulge in luxury are in palaces. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, 'I will send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you.' I tell you, among those born of women, there is no one greater than John. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he." All the people, even the tax collectors, when they heard Jesus' words, acknowledged that God's way was right because they had been baptized by John. But the Pharisees and the experts in the law rejected God's purpose for themselves because they had not been baptized by John. Jesus went on to say, "To what then can I compare the people of this generation? What are they like? They are like children sitting in the marketplace and calling out to each other, 'We played the pipe for you and you did not dance. We sang a dirge and you did not cry.' For John the Baptist came neither eating bread nor drinking wine, and you say, 'He has a demon.' The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and you say, 'Here is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' But wisdom is proved right by all her children."
Thank you, Malcolm. Can I use this? Let's have a look. Oh, there's a little light on that. Is that working now? Praise the Lord. Tell you what, it's a real joy and a privilege for me to be here today. I've been helped greatly by members of the Good Shepherd Mission. They have, Michael Goff has helped us do our branding, our outreach to vulnerable women. We've been cooperating in the Arches project. And as I've thought about it, I've realised, you know, we're both missions, aren't we? London City Mission, Good Shepherd Mission. Not just that, but we both have the same boss. We both have the same Good Shepherd. And in fact, it's the same mission. We are on the same job. And in fact, our audience is pretty much the same people. We're aiming at Londoners, get the good news of Jesus Christ out to London. So we have a lot in common. We are fellow foot soldiers with one mission. And it is a joy. It is a joy to be here today. I want to look at this passage. And when I first looked at it, I thought, oh, it's a bit complicated. John the Baptist, and was he misunderstanding? But what I've realised is that this passage is going to point us towards the kingdom of God and about Jesus's mission, and I think it will be helpful for us. But I want to start off. I want to start off with a bit of a story, and it's about misunderstandings. I think there's kind of been a misunderstanding going on here amongst John the Baptist's disciples, and we live in a world plagued by misunderstandings, don't we? Does anyone have one of these things in their pocket, one of these kind of smartphones or something? Has anyone here ever sent a text message and it's come out slightly wrong? Does that have happened? Put your hand up if that's you. Yeah, I see that hand, brother. I see it. It's one of the plagues of modern life. And it doesn't always come out so wrong. Let me read. This one is from the Lavelle family, North Yorkshire. I know there's two Lavelles, both trending up at Oak Hill at the moment, so I don't know if they're part of that family. But apparently a mum had sent a message to both father and daughter, quite an important message, saying, "What do you want from life?" And the father and the daughter kind of look at each other and said, "Mum sent us this message. Is she doing okay?" She says, "What do you want from life?" And they sat down and started talking through. And the daughter's like, "Well, I mean, I've been thinking. I mean, I want to go to university, but there's so much debt involved in that. And what should I really be? What should I be doing? I mean, what do I want from life?" And they sat there and had quite an in-depth conversation for half an hour. And then at the end, they got a new text from mum saying, "No, what I meant was, what do you want from little?" And you realise, you see, that was quite a good one, wasn't it? You know, that was useful, a useful misunderstanding. I've got what I'll make a confession to you. Here's one of my own. I started at London City Mission a couple of years ago, and beforehand I thought it would be really good for us to go away and get to know each other as a leadership team. So I booked up a place off in the countryside, and I sent a note saying, "I'd like us to get away. You don't need to do any preparation, really. I just want us to have a useful social time together to get to know each other." Unfortunately, when I got there, people were a bit worried about this time away. They knew that I was planning a bit of a restructuring, a change of direction for London City Mission. So the fact that I'd sent everyone a message saying it would be really good for us to have a bit of suicide time together, that was quite unfortunate, really. Because they're like, "Oh my goodness, has he got some plan? Is it some hidden meaning that, you know, that's how we're going to restructure ourselves?" That I'm like, no. It was just my predictive text. And so we have these misunderstandings. And they happen in the Bible as well. Because Jesus has come to bring the kingdom of God. It's all the way through. It's all the way through Luke volume 1, the book of Luke, and Luke volume 2, which is the book of Acts. All the way through it, Jesus, at the very start of his message, is saying, "I've come to proclaim the kingdom of God." See that at the beginning? You see it at the end? I went to Cornhill and they said, "This is how you cheat. You look at the beginning of the book and you look at the end. And whatever is repeated, that must be what the book's about." And at the beginning of Luke and the end of Luke, it says Jesus talked about the kingdom of God. That's one of the big themes here. And yet there was a misunderstanding. What is this kingdom of God about? And you see it in this passage. Verse 20. When the men came to Jesus, they said, "John the Baptist sent us to ask, are you the one who was to come, or we should we expect someone else?" Basically, are you the Messiah, or is there another Messiah coming? And it seems that there was doubt. Is it, Jesus, you look a bit like the Messiah, but actually, the Romans are still in charge at the minute, and the kingdom is still there. And where are your soldiers, Jesus? When are you going to start really like kicking these Romans out of here? And when are we going to get the new Israel and rebuild the walls and maybe rip down that temple that Herod built and put something more like Solomon's temple back there? When's the kingdom going to come, Jesus? If you're the Messiah, what's going on? And there is a fundamental misunderstanding of what this kingdom of God is all about. Jesus is bringing a kingdom, but it doesn't quite look like what they were looking for. It's a misunderstanding. They've been given the message all the way through the Old Testament. They've been given the message about the Messiah. They've been given the message about the kingdom, but they've misunderstood it. They've kind of jumped to their expectation of what that kingdom should look like. They've got the predictive text wrong. And Jesus gives them this reminder. Go back in verse 22. He replied to the messengers, "Go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the deaf are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me." And what he's saying here is, go back, you can have a look at the prophets, look at what Isaiah says. He says that the blind will receive sight, that the lame will walk in the day of the Messiah. That is happening. I am the fulfillment. I am the fulfillment of the kingdom promises. The kingdom of God is coming. It's not exactly as you expected. And so, we're on a mission, aren't we? Good Shepherd Mission, London City Mission. We're on a mission. We're on a gospel mission. We're wanting to see the kingdom of God proclaimed. We want Jesus. The interesting thing is, Luke volume 1 is all about Jesus proclaiming the kingdom of God. You get to the beginning of Acts, it says Jesus spent 40 days explaining the kingdom of God to them. And what he's doing, he's handing them over, and then he gives them the Great Commission. So Jesus proclaims the kingdom of God in Luke volume 1. In volume 2, his disciples, the people of God, are proclaiming this kingdom of God. And that's our mission. That is the Great Commission for us. We're proclaiming the kingdom of God. Have we got it right, or are we also misunderstanding what this mission is, what the kingdom of God is all about? And so I want to spend some time just thinking about that. What is the kingdom of God all about? Have we got it right? Are we like John the Baptist disciples who are just slightly misunderstanding? And so I've got 3 points. I'm one of these speakers who comes with 3 points in there. I'll tell you what they are at the beginning. The first one is, the kingdom of God is not about a physical land in the here and now. That's what these disciples were looking for. And Jesus says, no, it's not about a kingdom of God in the here and now. See, they were waiting for the Roman soldiers to get kicked out. They were waiting for a new kind of land. People were saying, so Jesus, when you take your throne, could I be on your right hand and maybe my brother will be on your left? When you're the king, will all our problems be solved? And you think, yeah, but that's not a problem that we'd ever have now. But actually, I think it can be. I said earlier, we suffer in London. Different parts of the church have different prosperity gospels, but some of them, us, are looking for the kingdom of God right now, in the here and now. Thinking, Lord, I really like having you working for me, Lord. And I say my prayers to you every day. And will you give me everything I need right in the here and now? Will you sort my job out? Will you give me a bigger house? Will you help my kids to pass their exams? We look at it and think, yeah, we don't want a big black Mercedes, so we're not really prosperity people, are we? But actually, we are really. We're wanting God's blessing in the here and now. Maybe our kingdom is the big 5-bedroom detached house. Lord, will you give me your kingdom in the here and now? And Jesus challenges us today. It says, go back and know this. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed. The outsiders, the people on the fringes, are brought into this kingdom. The deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. And that is the message of the kingdom. That is the message of the kingdom. Yes, we bring our personal needs to the Lord. If our kids are taking exams, let's get on our knees and pray for them. But the kingdom of God is about so much more than that. It's about more than the big house. It's about more than the big black Mercedes. It's about more than our exams getting into, our kids getting into the right schools. It's about good news for the poor. It's about the outsider being brought in and becoming an insider. It's about those, you know, the lepers. They were the people who had to stay without outside of the city walls. It's the unacceptable people in society. I don't know who those people are today. In the last general election, at least one politician said, you know, if you have Romanians moving into the house next door, I think it's fair enough that you feel frightened of them, and because they're not really welcome in our country, are they? And actually, it's those people who are the outsiders. The kingdom is good news for them, because it says, yes, you are welcome. You are welcome in this kingdom. There is increasing kind of stirring up of social tension, and you know, even during the EU referendum, part of the kind of tone behind it is we have too many foreigners in this country, and you think actually it's unhealthy. As Christians, we're called to have a different attitude. It's not about them and us. It's about the kingdom of God, which is good news for all. It's not about God. You know, did those feet in ancient times walk upon England's green and pleasant fields? You know, actually, it's not about England, is it? That's what the disciples thought. Now are you going to bring the kingdom? He says, yeah, it's not about what you're thinking. It's much, much bigger than that. So start off where you are in Jerusalem, Judea, and move out onto Samaria. Yeah, the Samaritans too, the people you don't like very much, and keep going right out to the ends of the earth. This is a kingdom, but it's much bigger than you expect. That's my first thought. The kingdom of God is not about a physical land in the here and now. The second thing is, the kingdom of God is not just about us being good people. It's not just about us being good people. So you can kind of super spiritualize it and say, yeah, it's not about houses and exam passes and big black Mercedes. Oh, it's about us being nice to one another. And actually, the kingdom of God is not just about us being good people. John had preached a baptism of repentance. People had learnt that they were sinners and needed to repent of their sins and turn round and come back to God and learn to be good again. And later on in the book of Acts, we learn that some of his disciples were still, that was their understanding of the gospel. And in the book of Acts, he says, no, you need to understand about the lordship of Jesus Christ. You need to understand about the lordship of Jesus Christ. And you see that again here. If you look at verse 28... I tell you, amongst those born of women, there is no one greater than John, yet the one who is least in the kingdom is greater than he. This is something greater than the baptism of John. This is more than John, who's been fasting in the desert, who lives a good life, who isn't living an unrighteous life. But actually, in the kingdom of God, there's something better than that. And we read, as we read on the full gospel of Jesus Christ, that actually Jesus Christ has come and he's taken away our sins and he's dealt with our sin and we have a new identity in Christ, and now God looks on us. We are justified and he sees us just as if we were Christ Jesus. And so the least in the kingdom is greater than John the Baptist. This isn't just turning away from, it's more than just turning away from sin. It's having a new identity with Christ as our Lord. And so that's another thing. We talk about the kingdom and we think, oh, well, as long as we're nice people to one another, we're doing kingdom work, aren't we? You know, and at London City Mission, it's easy to slip into this. We do lots of nice things for people. So we feed the homeless in our Waterloo Homeless Centre. We work with vulnerable women on the streets of King's Cross and in Shoreditch, and actually just around here. We work with really poor people in council estates, and we have half a dozen food banks, and we do nice stuff, and you can think, well, that's kingdom work, isn't it? But actually, the kingdom is much, much more than just being good people. It's not less than that. As Christians, we're told to be absolutely loving. We love our enemies. It's not less than being living, but it is more than that. Because Jesus says, people of the kingdom, even the least of the kingdom is greater than the person of John the Baptist, the person who's just turned away from their sins and decided to try and live a good life now. We're more than that. So what is it then, Graham? This is like the EU referendum thing. You're all the negatives. You're telling us what the kingdom isn't. Please tell us what it is. The kingdom is not the physical land of making England great again. It's not just about us being good people, but it's not less than that. What is the kingdom of God? And here, I guess, is my big point of today's talk. The kingdom of God is all about the King Jesus' lordship, and it impacts the here and now, the actual physical land we live in, and it impacts the way we behave. It does start changing our behaviour and turn us into good people. But it's about Jesus Christ's lordship, and it's good news for the poor. Let's just go back and read what Jesus said again. Jesus replied to the messengers, "Go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised. The good news is proclaimed to the poor." The good news is proclaimed to the poor. We have a message of great good news. And you can see this if you, as I say, if you get onto volume 2, I'm just going to turn to that. Volume 2 of Luke's book is the book of Acts. If I have a look at that, you can see what this message is. In volume 2, this is where it gets handed over to us lot to get on and hand this message out. And you see that in Acts 1 verse 6. Oh, actually, it's even before that. Acts 1 verse 3. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave them many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days, and he spoke about the kingdom of God. What did he hand over to them? He handed over this message about the kingdom of God, and he handed over this message about himself. Have a look at me. I give you many convincing proofs. I've conquered death. I am the Lord. Now get on with the message of the kingdom of God. And then he goes on to the Great Commission. Have a look at the very, very end, the last verse of the book of Acts, this message that we're meant to get out. Verses 30 and 31, for 2 whole years Paul stayed there in Rome, in his own rented house, and welcomed all who came to see him. He proclaimed the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. It's clear. It's this message, the kingdom of God, and the message about the risen Jesus Christ who has conquered death. This is the message that has been handed over. And Jesus, at the beginning of Acts, says, "And you," actually, at that beginning of Acts, they're still saying, "Lord, now are you going to sort out the kingdom?" They've got the same misunderstanding that John the Baptist's disciples had. They're still saying, "Lord, are you going to do it? Are you going to sort it out and make our lives more comfortable for us?" He says, "No." In Matthew, it says they worshipped him and some of them doubted. There was still this misunderstanding. And he says, "No, actually, it's not about a physical kingdom. It's about much more than that. And it's not just about this land of Israel. But start off here, start off in Jerusalem." So this was a hillside just out in Jerusalem. "Start off here and go into Judea, the places just down the road, to people like yourselves. And not just to people like yourselves. Go out to Samaria as well. The people who live nearby but are chalk and cheese with you. Go out to the Romanians and the Bulgarians. Go out to the vulnerable women. Go out to the community, the Muslim community. Don't just sit there and think, oh, Lord, those people coming in, taking over our country." That is not the Christian approach. The Christian approach is go out to the outsiders with the good news of Jesus Christ, the risen Lord, and the kingdom of God. A message of good news for outsiders. See, we go out we go out proclaiming Jesus' lordship, and it's a message of good news for the poor, isn't it? And sometimes we feel awkward about this. I can tell you, I interviewed a man for a job at London City Mission, and he's a good Christian man, but he felt awkward about wanting to work for London City Mission. He says, "Graham, the problem that I have is that you're really dedicated to this whole evangelism thing, and I like working with the poor, but I just think, aren't you being a bit manipulative? Because the thing is, you work with the poor, you work with the homeless, and you work with like vulnerable women who work on the streets, and then at the same time, you're talking to them about Jesus. Isn't that actually taking advantage of someone in their moment of weakness?" You kind of think, "Oh, yeah, it's quite convincing what you're saying. Maybe we should give up and just be nice to people." That's not what we're going to do at London City Mission, at least. Let me tell you why. It's because we have good news for the poor. When we're working with that vulnerable woman on the street, let me tell you how we think about it. This woman, I don't know her very well, but it's quite likely that the statistics will say it was quite likely she was abused by her own dad, and she's been mistreated, and she's learnt hatred for herself, and she's at a really low ebb, and she's desperate, and she hasn't got enough money, and she meets one of our London City missionaries. Maybe she's met Lynn McLeavy, and her felt need is, "I'm in a bit of a mess, I wonder if you could help out." And yet, it would be great, wouldn't it, to sit her down and help her get a better CV together and maybe help her apply for a job. That would be of some help. But that's not the best news for her. The best news for her is to say, "Yes, you know what, you were abused by your own dad, but you have a loving Heavenly Father who really, really cares for you." And she turns around and says, "Yeah, all that Christian stuff, it's nice for you and for your comfortable people who go to church, but it's not really right for me. You don't actually know all the stuff I've done. When I was growing up, I got depressed. I started taking drugs. And actually, I nicked stuff from my own family to pay for the drugs. And I'm in a mess. And actually, I'm not one of those nice people that all the Christian stuff is for." And we've got a message of good news to say, "Actually, you know what? You are loved just as you are, and you are forgiven. And there is a message of great hope for you, because actually all of us are sinners and all of us need to repent. And God loves you. And Jesus Christ died on the cross and he's paid the price for you. And this is great good news, because you can be, you're not an outsider anymore. We love you." And someone like Lynn McLeavy gives her a big hug and says, "I just love you. Can I pray for you right now?" She's like, "Okay, but I'm still not a Christian." But she prays for her and she starts to feel loved. You think, this is a message of good news for the poor. And that is not manipulation, is it? That is good news that she needs to hear. And so as we go out with this mission that we're on, I just want to challenge us today. Yes, it's not less than a physical kingdom. We have a hope of a physical kingdom where we will live a life and there won't be misunderstandings anymore, there won't be arguments, and there won't be hatred, and there won't be fighting, and there won't be refugees. We look forward to that. It's not less than a physical kingdom. And it's not less than good works. It's not less than being good people. Yes, we provide food for the poor. But it's not that when we bring a cup of tea to a homeless man that's all of the kingdom that we're bringing them. No, we take the kingdom when we point people to the King, Jesus Christ. And that is actually really good news. If we're getting into our heads that this is somehow manipulating people, then we're getting it slightly wrong. It's not less than being loving to people, but it's also not less than sharing the good news of Jesus Christ's lordship. We have the kingdom of God that we preach. It is often misunderstood. John the Baptist's disciples seem to misunderstand it. The disciples themselves seem to misunderstand it in Acts 1. But we've been handed this message. Let's not treat it as bad news for people. Let's not be shy about it and think, actually, what our friends need to hear is something a bit different. Someone was saying, it was an article, I think it was in Christianity magazine recently, saying, when we preach of Jesus Christ and him crucified, it is no longer applicable to a modern society. We're actually driving people away. We live in a post-Christian society and people don't want to hear that stuff anymore. It's this message about judgment and forgiveness and all that stuff. That isn't what people want to hear. They want to hear about niceness and good people and stuff. You think, oh no, I can't be right. Yes, we're in a post-Christian society, but China was a post-Christian society. China, people are brainwashed against the good news of Jesus Christ, and yet I went there and talked about Jesus, and there's a revival going on in China. People do need to hear this message. Let's not shirk away from it. It is good news. Let us recapture that for ourselves today, and let us preach the good news to the poor. Let me pray as we feel challenged about this. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you haven't left us in this world by ourselves, but you have given us a message of good news for the poor. And it's good news about Jesus Christ. He is our Lord and he is our King. Whatever situation we're facing today, whatever mess we're in, Jesus Christ is King of that situation. He is Lord. And he will come back and he will bring restoration and reconciliation. We long for that day. And we say, come Lord Jesus, our King. Lord, give us that excitement again about this message of good news. Fill us again with your Holy Spirit and send us out in your strength with this message of good news, I pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen.